The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Now my eyelids are growing weak.
The sense of the sleight of hand man.
Close my eyes and I'm counting sheep.
A Call of Cthulhu Dreamlands campaign.
I fall silent and not a peep.
By Dennis Detweiler.
I descend farther into sleep.
Welcome to the nightmare.
How do I find my way out of here? How do I get back home? How do I learn how to wake myself? And how will I ever know?
That should be enough for you to work with, right, Lucas?
Sure.
Your son is disgusting.
Stupid babies. And their sneeze.
That was funny.
$20 he just blew pizza all over the place because it was half chewed in his mouth.
I've been there.
Can't complain, I guess.
Flynn's first comment of the night where he compares himself to an infant.
More to come.
Stay tuned, folks. Get that counter out. Ka-ding! So yeah, we're totally prepared. Absolutely. Consummate professionals. Cool. So you going back to talk to Mortimer, Troy?
No.
So since the last time we recorded, these episodes have finally come out, and Troy was remarking about how he's like, man, maybe I should have talked to the creepy guy that was giving everybody else bad vibes.
That's good. Love my decision.
My wife is actually listening to this show, so she's probably going to spend the rest of the evening hiding somewhere so she doesn't hear what's going on. Okay, so let's do some shit. You are not turning back to Losk, then. You are heading east out of Losk to parts unknown.
I'm turning back.
You're turning back?
I am.
Excellent! That's exciting and totally unprepared for. What would you like to do?
So I am going to...
Well, let's start with this.
Okay.
Everyone begins heading out of town, and the strikingly beautiful Indian woman, Lou, says anything or just turns around.
Hey, guys. So, I got this feeling, and I don't think there's anything for us in Elkvad. I don't think there's anything for me there.
Isn't that the way home?
I don't know if there is a way home anymore.
So you're just gonna give up and stay here? That's your plan?
I'm gonna stay here, but I'm not gonna give up. So, from what I understand, the men of Lang have some sort of connection to the people that brought us here, right? And if Mortimer can exist on Earth and here, then maybe Mr. Lau is here. And maybe the men of Lang know where he is. And I wanna find him. I wanna burn his ass to the ground.
Who?
Good point.
You both.
Louis, you got me. Are you with me, Louis?
Not exactly.
That's my third inspiration. Thank you.
I don't. What's the connection? I mean, that you think the men of Lang have with Mr. Lau?
Didn't Mortimer mention something?
I believe it was basically explained that the men on Earth were the men of Lang.
Yes.
Yes, Mortimer. In your discussions, if you want to go back and ask him some more, he would definitely let you know more. But. There is a tenuous grasp between what is, for dreamers and for others, what is of Earth, what is not of Earth. That barrier is permeable in both directions. So yes, it is possible that there are people like dreamers who can cross over, and there are people who apparently make this trip frequently, I think is basically what you were kind of... pointing towards. So, I mean, as far as a logic standpoint, you don't even need to make an idea roll. That seems incredibly plausible, that somehow Mr. Lau could also be here as a dreamer. He might walk in some secret portal, you're not quite sure. But obviously you've all had different experiences with how you got here and what people are saying the way to get here is.
I mean, if my memory serves me correct, I I felt like when we were leaving Earth, Mr. Lau sensed it and was not happy about it. So, I don't know. Like, I don't think he sent us here.
Give me an idea.
Purposefully.
Louis, give me an idea roll.
Pass.
What does Bywondine do?
If I know.
Right, but what have you been told that it does?
I know.
It's.
I mean, it was supposed to.
It's like a hallucinogenic sleep aid.
Yeah, it was supposed to ease our suffering because we were supposed to be supposedly going to be killed. I mean, I believe we were told that it was supposed to help us.
That is what you were told.
Yeah.
The idea roll, based on your discussions with Mortimer and based on your understanding of Bywondine, and I mean, is this the character who's affected by Bywondine? I get confused. You've had a couple.
I mean, you told me that I probably was when I was brought here.
Right, yes.
Just a completely different circumstance.
You get the sense, especially from talking to Mortimer, because I think I remember saying this, that Bywondine is a mode of transportation. I guess you could call it a sleep aid if you're considering that what you're doing is sort of a group hallucination and you've not actually physically traveled anywhere.
The fact that we're being told we're in the dreamlands and that we should be asleep and not physically here, yes.
I thought I remember him not being familiar with Bywondine when we talked to him.
No, I'm pretty sure he actually offered to make you a batch if you could find enough money.
He offered to make it, but I didn't.
He's never used it.
Okay.
He's not, I mean, it's not something that he's aware of it. And he seemed more than happy to provide it for you if you could afford it. If that helps the discussion at all.
So, I'm going back to Losk. If what you guys are seeking is in Ilikvaad, then I think this is where we part ways. Because I can't just walk away from some good that I know I can do here. Those things need to die. And I can do that. And I think...
You hope you can still do that.
No, I know I can do that.
Question. Was the temple that we were told of, or wasn't there a temple for that cult in... Was it in Losk? Was it in Ilikvaad?
Yes, it was in Losk.
It was in Losk.
Okay. So they got a temple. We would just burn it to the ground and then leave.
I'm down with that.
All right.
But I think, you know, I think Mortimer is... I don't trust him. But I think you could give us maybe some more information if there is a connection between the Men in Lang and people who sent Louis and I here, which I think there is. And there may be some connection with the people who sent you here. Then I think we're walking away from answers. And we're walking away from a chance to, and this is purely selfish, matter. Because if we go back to, if I go back, and even if I am in my old body, I'm going to fall back into old habits. You know, here I can do something worthwhile. So
that assumes that your old body exists.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I just remembered a thing. Go ahead.
I'm kind of curious what you just remembered.
No, I just remembered that I have an amulet thing.
Oh yeah,
it's written at the top of your character sheet. That's how I knew it was yours.
Didn't it do some weird shit?
I was never really told what it did. Was I?
No, not at all.
I actually don't remember how I got it.
It was the blind guy. We could go ask him.
Yeah, the blind guy.
Is that who gave it to me?
We have so many questions we left in Loves.
That's right.
This is exactly why I love this game. You guys just seem to barely continue. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think you can play that way. Absolutely.
I legit just forgot where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what it did. And I don't think I even told you guys that I had it.
Oh, maybe not.
Your characters don't know I have it because I tucked it under my shirt.
Yeah.
When we were speaking to Mortimer, it seemed like it was, like, growing or something. Is that accurate?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And it seemed to kind of, like, move maybe a little bit.
If I vibrate or shift?
Yeah. I don't want to quite go to, like, float, but yes, sure, sort of a bit of movement in Mortimer's presence.
Because he's an evil motherfucker.
Maybe.
Although he didn't glow
he's
when he
looked at him. He's not tingling for me.
He didn't glow when he looked at him.
But, you know, that doesn't mean I don't know what it means. I don't have the desire to blow his ass up.
We've talked about that so often that we can't really tie down what your ability actually is, because evil is evil, but culty evil is a different type of evil, and that seems to be what you pick up on.
Yeah.
So it's more creature-esque, I guess. You're not picking up on humans that.
No.
I don't think that's happened.
That is one way to look at it. Yes, you have. I don't think you've ever picked up on a...
Unless the cultists that were inside the cave, did they glow? I don't know if
No, I don't think they did.
They glowed.
Inside the cave.
the priests and everything.
The green priests in not Sarkomond.
The island that imploded.
No.
Bokrug.
I thought they did.
I couldn't
remember.
It wasn't just the moon beast that you killed.
Yeah, you might be right. Maybe they did.
There were several people that you...
Yeah, so I guess
the cave, the pirates.
I guess it does pick up on humanity then.
Yeah, I did roast some people there.
But it's still a culty evil. It's not the same type of evil. So that's a thing.
You are all saying things that seem very, very likely. I mean, there's nothing that you would have not remembered in the 6 months of absently not playing this game that would contradict that stuff.
Okay.
I am 80% sure you have blown up an actual human being with this before.
I think you did. Yeah.
The priest.
But not all human beings.
Yeah.
Particularly ones that you may or may not think are evil, I guess I should say.
So
right, we don't know if the power acts off your sense of morality or its own sense of morality.
Right.
I don't know. All I know is the men of Lang give me the tingles.
And you haven't, in times of rest and stuff, you have not rejuvenated any of your lost pal, right?
I haven't, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is there's an end to this train, but...
Absolutely. You know. Yeah, no, you definitely, you would feel that. I mean, pow is just sort of that spark that gets you up in the morning, that whatever.
It's vitality.
Yeah, absolutely. You feel older now than you did. It's hard to gauge time. Days, weeks, months ago, however. Like, you feel tired beyond. It's a little bit like carrying the One Ring. You know what I mean? Like, you just... It wears you on you. It wears on you a lot. I'm going to assume that you're just sort of on the outskirts of Losk, just sort of standing there, contemplating. Because as you were leaving... Lu's intention was to go see the temple anyway.
That was true.
And everyone sort of turned back from it. So you're still within striking distance of Losk, or you can walk away.
Where is the temple in regards to where we're standing?
Well, I hadn't looked at that map since the last time we played, so let me take a look-see.
Useful. Oh, we were leaving Losk, to be fair. I bet you know Ilikvad really well.
That's fine. The fun thing about this is that this is, and I'm not blowing sunshine up Detweiler's ass. I don't know if it's just that I read him really well or the way in which he writes. Have you read any of his stuff? Either one of you?
No, I've just played it.
I just find it really easy to comprehend and read. I can sit down and read this. This is probably, I don't know, 250 pages or so. I basically sat down and read it in an afternoon almost, just like it was a novel. And there are a lot of other books like D&D and stuff. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Now, this is written a little bit more, pardon the pun, dreamlike. It all flows together in a nice way. But, let's see. You would have walked out in the opposite direction of what you know as the Ebony Temple is sort of southwest. And you know Ilikvad is northeast. So you would have walked essentially in the complete opposite direction. Most of the things that you have encountered are... You've got the docks, you've got one main thoroughfare, and then you're in the Red Bazaar. You know, this massive outdoor market. You didn't really go to the Ebony Temple, you started heading in that direction, that's when you turned around and said, no, we're gonna leave, and started heading northeast to the opposite direction to leave. So yeah, everything else is within maybe 6 blocks of each other, except for the Ebony Temple. It's southwest of the Grand Bazaar by maybe 7 or 8 blocks. And these are big blocks, by the way. Losk is large. We're talking Cairo. We're talking a major medieval style city.
Yeah, I wasn't sure like if the temple was visible, if it was tall, there's a spire.
No,
something we could see from a near distance.
No, it's not such a large landmark. There are several things that are tall, but this wouldn't be standing out to you clear on the other side of town anyway.
Right. Right.
And when you were in the Grand Bazaar, it's sort of like being, well, doesn't help other people, but like being on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. You're already in all the tall shit, so you can't see anything else.
Okay. So how do you want to do this, then?
I want to get some info. I want to talk to what was the barkeep's name, the blind guy?
Let me go back to that chapter again.
I might have it written down.
Bestool?
Bestool? Blind Bestool? Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right.
I think we had a greater ally in him than Mortimer by a long shot.
He's a good man.
So I think we talk to him, see what he can do for us, check in again with Mortimer, because Mortimer seemed to know something about the Men of Lang and at least traveling from here to Earth, and then we can... Because I don't intend to walk up and just die. I'm going to do this right. So
the sun is still pretty high in the sky, even though you obviously went out for the day and started talking and you were heading out. It's still early to mid-afternoon-ish.
Okay.
And didn't you spend a lot of money at the outfitters? So don't you all have, like, weapons and shit now?
Yep. Armor, yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Armor, swords, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to turn around and head back through town, you absolutely can.
I'm going to head back to... What was the place? What was Bestool's?
Eye of the Needle.
Eye of the Needle.
Are you walking along the waterfront, or are you heading back through, like, the Red Bazaar?
Whatever's quicker, I guess.
Probably where we... Red Bazaar, because we knew... We've been there, right?
Yeah, we at least know that route.
Yeah.
Perception checks for Glenn and Louis. Lou, make me a luck roll.
Pass.
Okay. Fail.
Fail.
Okay. Make sure you take your skill, Troy.
Sorry, ticked.
Did we up ticks last time?
No.
I was going to on the adventure, and since we've started literally 5 seconds from before, no, I don't figure.
I can
we're going. This is an addendum to the chapter.
I still have stuff ticked, and I can remember.
Actually, I probably need one of those. It may or may not work. I just collect them.
He's the collector.
Ooh. Corrector. Now I gotta remember all the fucking voices that I use, because I'm pretty sure I don't remember any of them.
Consistency is key.
Yeah. Remember what I said when we started this? Consummate professionals.
Oh, for people at home, everyone's been recast. Go ahead.
That's right. The mid-season break, there were some cuts at the whatever. Just start doing them all kinds of weird funky voices. As you're moving through the Red Market, Louis, you clearly see a figure robed all in black, kind of like you've seen before, move within 40 or 50 feet of you. Seems to be heading, you're coming in from the northeast, seems to be heading to the southwest, seems to have got a bag of something and is, you know, moving through town.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to, like, not let Lou see that, obviously. Fair enough.
All right.
So would he be heading towards the temple?
Yes, essentially. You would imagine so. But you, like I said, this is Cairo. This is everyone, bodies pressed close together. Louis has a few inches in height over the other two. You happen to be looking at maybe something as you're passing by, some fresh fruit or whatever. You happen to, out of the corner of your eye, notice this black-robed figure move and head in the direction that you know the Ebony Temple is.
As we're walking, I will, like, trip myself and stumble and, like, to, like, draw the attention away.
Oh, you all right, buddy?
Yeah, sorry. Just clumsy.
Easy.
You know me.
Easy.
You make it back to the Eye of the Needle if you wish. Blindness Duel was old, so I probably did a raspy voice, but I don't remember exactly what I did.
I don't recall. I haven't edited that.
It was very... Yet. It was like this.
I do feel like it was very airy. Yes.
Seems accurate.
Would you like room service?
The door is just as screwed up as it was before. Doesn't quite fit in the jam. Bell rings when you walk in. It's like, I didn't expect to see you all again.
Dun-dun-dun.
Oh, God, that... You rascal.
Do you need a room for the evening?
Maybe.
Some plans have changed.
Somehow I feel not for the better.
No, I...
Not sure.
It just depends on your perspective. Could we have a word with you in private?
He sort of looks around, and there's probably, you know, behind a beaded curtain or something, he sort of indicates a room and, you know, again, completely blind, but he waves back the beaded curtain and indicates that you should step inside. Sort of just an offshoot room, you know, back behind the corner of the bar.
I don't think he's blind. He's totally Daredevil.
Damn it. All right.
Daredevil's still blind.
I'm going to head back into that room.
You can see stuff.
He passes by, no reaction at all from him, and he just sort of speaks out, "You are the two coming?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. He lets you into the room. It's clearly some sort of storage room. There are some plates, maybe a wash basin, you know, maybe this is where they clean up, you know, quote-unquote back door, etc. Did you run into trouble? What is wrong?
No, we've just,
If by trouble you mean conscience, then I think so.
Yeah. We talked to Mortimer, and, some things that he said, you know, as
he doesn't look very happy when you bring his name up.
Yeah, he is an ass. But
he's much more dangerous than that.
More dangerous than an ass?
Yes.
Quite. My God. what do you know of the Men of Lang?
Well, as you may or may not remember, since I told you some weeks ago in real time.
Oh, did you tell us about this?
I'm pretty sure we had this conversation.
Oh.
Yeah. He talks about how he was originally from the city of Celephias, that he had a boat, that he... That's how he injured himself, was fighting off the Men of Lang in a black galley.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me rephrase my question.
He actually talked about Illich Vad as well, if that was forgotten.
Damn.
He kind of gave us the incentive to head that direction.
But still, because I've ignored everything you've said up to this point, I would like to take our conversation in a different direction. What is Losk, the kind of the central hub of the Men of Lang?
Well, it didn't used to be. Their presence is much heavier now. Typically, they used to stick to the plateau of Lang. just f***ing with you. Recent, as I also reminded you last time, I believe that there are political implications that have driven them here.
Okay, yeah, it's coming back now. It's coming back.
There was some question of perhaps political intrigue involved in the ruling parties of the...
Yeah, okay, okay.
And Troy was like, f*** that, I don't care, I want to go to Illich Vad.
Okay. So just for our listeners who may not remember...
don't remember the last episode.
Who are the...
That they listened to 7 days ago
quiet,
or less.
Quiet. I'm not current with this run. Sorry. Who are the major... Who are the major players in this?
So for the listeners who definitely don't remember this episode from previously, he would have told you that... He knows many people in Losk. He occasionally sits on the council when they're looking for input. Since you're asking about it specifically, Flynn, I won't even make you roll. I'll impart a bit of information that I don't know that you necessarily got before.
You are aware that they control the Ebony Temple. That we did explain.
Yes.
I believe they have a patron in the largest... merchant family in the city, the Thaw family. Emin Thaw is a tyrant. Ever since his brother's unfortunate demise, he has influenced the city of Losk in ways that I think are dangerous, and I believe he has some strong connection to the Ebony Temple and to the men from Lang.
What happened to his brother?
You notice also when he speaks of the Thaw family, even though he's in this private place, he looks around. You can tell he's sort of cocking his ear to make sure that, you know, somebody passes by the beaded curtain and it rattles. And as it rattles, he hushes a little bit and kind of is startled by the movement. You can tell that while he despises Emin Thaw, he doesn't want to speak about it too much.
His brother went out on a journey with the rest of, some of his men in a boat and... he never came back. They say he ran afoul of raiders, black galleys, something to that effect. But some of us in town find it a bit too convenient that this happened so soon after his brother's demise that the men from Lang and the black galleys suddenly are showing up in droves in Losk. It seems awful convenient for both parties that Kamestha, who was well known and beloved, disappears at the exact same time that these black galleys begin to arrive more frequently.
How long ago was this?
About 3 years ago.
Does Kamestha have any loyalists left? Are there any factions who are still loyal to him?
What names have I given you so far?
Kamestha and Emin Thaw.
Okay, I'm doing well. Because there is... Maristha is the nephew. So Maristha is the son of Kamestha. With the exception of... Maristha, who should be the rightful heir, he is but a boy of some unspecified age. His uncle is serving in his stead at this point. I fear that if there was some sort of suspicion in the disappearance of Kamestha, then Maristha may
end up may end up being served up in a similar manner.
So you said he's just a boy?
I think he's like 17.
Oh, he's a man grown. Where would I find him?
There's a large chateau northeast of town, on the edges.
Where we just came.
I don't think it likely for you to be able to approach the house. And if the Thaws have become traitors to Losk, it may be one of the most dangerous places in the city to go.
More dangerous than the Ebony Temple?
Hmm. There is dark, and then there's the black of the inside of a cave.
Hmm.
Neither one are pleasant.
That's fair.
How flammable is this temple?
Probably not. Most of the buildings, you realize, are constructed with stone. They're not wooden structures. Let me look again and see if there's anything there. But you'd probably have to go and actually see the temple, you know what I mean?
Which you'll probably end up doing anyway, but...
He would be able to tell you a little bit about it. Looks like we may be using that section of the book I didn't think we were going to use.
The burning of the temple? Is that a chapter?
No.
But we're writing it.
Yep.
Try to remind me that there's a very interesting section about fire.
Sweet.
He would tell you that it is entirely stone, and that the temple's exterior is a bizarre jet black stone that isn't known to be found in the area. It's a bit of an oddity of where it came from, but it sparkles in the night. It is a bizarre structure. Yeah, I mean it's onyx more or less. Yeah, the same sort of like bizarre look that onyx gives you.
Yeah,
or volcanic rock, something of that nature.
I cast fog cloud.
Okay.
I can't see, and neither can Bestool.
Nope.
Hey.
Counteracts the blindness.
Ah, I can see everything. Bestool, do you know anything about like the structure of the Men of Lang? Like, do they have a leader? Do they have factions within?
We already know who they serve.
And for those listeners,
we were given the name of an elder god last time.
Come on.
Hey. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that means shit to us as characters, yeah. But yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Do you
that.
Say it? Does Glenn actually say the word?
No, I literally say we know who they serve. I'm not saying the name of the god.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is there like a high priest? Is there, you know, a president of assholes? Something
surrounded
like
by assholes.
It is he who lives on the dark side of the moon.
Yes.
Is that a Pink Floyd reference?
It's also a Transformers reference, if you got to that film.
I tapped out after two.
I love how you are so much more quiet now, Lucas.
Sorry.
It is he who is the messenger of the gods, the jet black man.
He names off several monikers, but he definitely does not say the name. So I was curious if Glenn would.
Yeah, I say it.
You
mean Narlathotep?
You notice that he puts a hand to your lips,
mm-hmm.
as the words escape. But Lou, that kind of gets you, and I think this happened last time. It, you hear that, and you kind of get fired up. You kind of get like, yeah,
that's the asshole I'm gonna burn.
That tricks your fancy.
Yeah,
tickles your bean.
Gets me a little riled up.
Absolutely, it gives you in a similar way that tingle.
Okay, wait. So. But that's, so he's like a...
When I say it?
No.
Okay. He's
and for those
like a
who
god
can't tell that it's
right?
An audio podcast.
Nope. Not telling you what I did.
He made a wanky, wanky motion.
The cameo is what I'm saying.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
So that guy is... Is he here? Is he in the temple? Like, can I go up and...
I certainly hope not.
Okay. Do they have a leader at the temple? Do they have someone who runs the show here?
I don't know anyone who has ever gone through those temple doors.
Or come out.
Fair enough.
I stay away from it. I've had my fight with the men from Lang. I prefer not to have another.
And they've never been in here? Your bar?
No. No. They have little need for Losk other than it is a transport hub. It is a source of growing power.
What are they transporting?
He shakes his head. He has no clue.
Things and stuff.
Yep.
My God.
Not stuff.
Stuff too.
Not stuff.
Stars. They must burn.
I really can't wait for all this to be sorted out. It's going to be great.
It's gonna be just juicy as hell.
So what are your plans exactly? They sound a tad suicidal.
You are correct.
You are correct, sir. Hey-o!
I've been thinking about this whole thing. And I no longer think there's anything back there for me to go to.
You mean Earth?
Yeah. And so I'm gonna try to do something here. And I think the Men of Lang have something to do with me being here. And so
clearly they have a thing, they have something to do with all of us being here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wiser minds than mine might be able to elaborate on that. If you wish more information, I would seek them out. But if you are going to eliminate this blight in some way from Losk, I would greatly appreciate it, as would any of those who are not under the sway of the Tha family or the Ebony Temple already. But I do ask that you not throw your lives away needlessly. Temples can be rebuilt.
It's true.
Gwyn's aware of your ability, right? Yeah.
I don't think you've used it.
No, I tend to get really rambunctious around certain things, but you haven't seen
it. I don't think he's used it in like six or seven episodes. Yeah, it's
been a
while.
I can't remember if you told me about it, because I feel like last episode we played it like I was pulling you away from things that you shouldn't be doing.
He was just acting irrationally. He was I don't think it was ever described.
Fair enough.
Just that he had an urge to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yes. I think that's true.
Is more.
Flynn has not gotten to touch something and make it explode in quite some time, so
touch the temple.
He's got magic blue balls, I guess.
Yeah. It hurts.
Sweet release. They just explode in fire.
That was good. Just smoke a cigarette.
Just pull one out of your pocket and light it off the corpse.
Oh, so good.
Bestool, these minds wiser than yours. Anyone other than Mortimer you might nod us toward?
Have you...
That way it doesn't say, but I'm going to assume based on some of the other stuff in his backstory that he might know.
Would he? Yeah, no, he would. I thought you were already headed to Ilikvad.
We were.
Were you not seeking out the King of the Dusk?
We were.
I have been to that place many years ago, but it is clear that a powerful dreamer resides there. Not just someone who can manipulate small things, but I believe the whole city is under his sway. At least that is what those people told me. I know that the desire to rest there is nearly irresistible.
Hmm. What's that mean?
Poppy.
I literally ask him, what does that mean?
It is a... There are not many places in this land that are safe.
Figured that out.
Ilikvad is safe. The people there believe that the King of Dust protects them from all injury or death or need.
Oh, that sounds like the place to be.
Sounds like a bunch of people who are drugged.
Also, yes.
Sounds like a place to be.
Sounds like you're going to have to crank that audio up because you're still being soft, motherfucker.
It was meant to be that way.
Bastille, what do you know of Baiwan Dean?
He's not going to be your only info dump, so we'll say he doesn't know anything about Baiwan Dean.
Damn it, Bastille!
There's no reason why he would know that.
Please send us to another info dump that's not Mortimer.
Show us your other dumps.
I believe I did. I pointed you to the King of the Dusk.
Please add a new marker to my map.
We already had this marker.
This subject line is already grayed out.
Need a different side quest. This isn't working.
Yeah, there's no reason for Bastille to know anything about drugs, or he's not a dreamer like Mortimer was, or at least, you know, he's not from Earth. He's from Celephias. He's clearly a resident of the Dreamlands. So Baiwan Dean, how dreamers get to Earth, how dreamers get to the Dreamlands from Earth, he wouldn't know any of that. So yes, there was no reason for him to know about Baiwan Dean, at least as far as you understand Baiwan Dean.
Well, maybe we should just go to Ilikvad. How far of a travel is it from here to there?
He begins to talk about the travel that he made and kind of talks in circles a little bit, and it's a distance. It's almost like you're asking him to describe a memory or a dream. It seems almost half forgotten as he talks about it. Mm-hmm.
I believe there was something of it being a difficult place to find for possibly mystical reasons or
such.
Yes, he has been there, and he alludes that others have been there, but it's not easy for them to recall. Like, they can do it. You know, he says boats go there all the time for trade and so on and so forth, but to pinpoint it on a map, to get a map, as we talked about with the outfitters across the street, like, it's not easy or cheap to get something that accurate, to pinpoint it down.
Okay.
Mm. Do you happen to know anybody that might have been there recently?
Oh, you could ask around the docks. I'm sure someone has taken something there. If you could pay for passage, you could perhaps hop on a ship and get there. It's funny because at one point you had a giant bag of rubies and also had Dreamland's GPS, but you've lost both of those. So fuck you and figure it out. I was looking at it the other day. Fucking the hammer was goddamn loaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yup.
Pirates.
Yeah. And then he died.
Yep.
We don't know that.
The hammer will be back. I believe.
It's going to come out right at the end of the game.
Uh-huh.
Knock something upside the head with his baseball bat.
Uh-huh.
Die a hero.
So what would you gentlemen like to do? Bestool says he could definitely save a room for you. He hasn't even rented that other room out, so you could stay here again if you wanted to. He again reminds you that you probably shouldn't go out at night. It is going afternoon into evening now, most definitely. So it's whatever you would like to do.
It's probably smart if we're going there to wait till morning.
Well, that was planned today, and then that failed.
Well, you've learned some information in the last little bit.
Well, yeah.
What say you, Lou?
I don't know. I'm not convinced there's anything there. It sounds like a place that people go to and find, and they waste away. Their minds are wiped.
We don't know that.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
and I trust this guy.
I mean, it's either that or storm the castle, and I don't think the three of us are going to do any good on our own. So,
I really hope you all read Dreamland stuff after this.
We can go try to gather more intel around the city before we go, or. But it does seem like that is where we are meant to head next.
Head wherever you want.
Sleep on it.
Sleep on it.
Baby, let you sleep on it.
Can we get a room?
He just said we have.
Yeah, he nods. No, he pulls a key off of the pegboard again. Same room you had last time. Haven't had a chance to sell it.
Cool. I guess we sleep. Do I attune to my item?
Yes.
Oh, cool. What's it do?
You don't know. Dreamlands don't work like that.
Yeah, attunement.
Well, before we just go to bed, do you want to do anything else?
I assume someone was going to do something incredibly rash, so I was going to see if anyone did anything rash in the middle of the night.
I'm going to go talk to Mortimer.
Okay, right now? Or are you waiting?
Are you trying to go without us?
You guys can come if you want. I just a couple more questions for him. I won't be long, but...
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
Glenn's interested to see if this thing happens again with his amulet.
Gling, 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 gling.
This time you all see it. You see a big glowing spot. Actually, two of them, as you see two fully black-robed figures moving through the Red Bazaar, heading in the direction of the Ebony Temple. As you just get back to that central part, you see Mortimer's off to your right. You look up and you see two of them moving off together. They kind of look like, I mean, they're robed head to toe, like, you know, burqa, the whole nine yards, like Jawas, basically. Like, but they're tall. They're, I mean, relatively speaking, they're taller than Lucas. We'll put it that way. They're 5'8".
That's not saying much.
5'8".
5'8", 5'10".
Are people avoiding them?
They definitely give them some space. I mean, the bazaar has calmed down a little bit, so it's not quite shoulder to shoulder, massive sweaty bodies, but they definitely give them an extra 2 or 3 feet of space. But you see them scurrying away in the general southwest direction.
Now is not the time.
For what?
You're right. You're right. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good. I'm not gonna run. I promise. I'm good. Let's go find Mortimer.
you're outside, what is it, Mortimer's sundries?
And poisons or something like that?
Yeah, it's like Mortimer's potions and sundries.
Whatever it is.
Mortimer's sundry potions and chemicals. You open the door.
Yep.
And the sort of bizarre looking individual that you saw before, who's in a sort of, I think I described it before as an Asian style robe, you know, like heavy cloak, you know, covered everything. The only skin exposed is like neck up and then just like a little bit of the wrist down to hands. Otherwise, it's sort of a nice jacket, robes.
I think Jafar when I think of this guy.
Mm.
A little bit, yeah, but he definitely has a look about him that is...
Cast him.
I don't know how. Like, he's very childlike. Like, to imagine him as a tall, like, strapping individual is fairly incorrect. He's...
Majin Buu?
Majin Buu.
With a rope.
Let me see here if I've got a better... he's a little bit more like...
I can't remember if he showed us a picture of him last time or not.
A short, I did not. Short, thick-waisted, dire young man. He has bushy eyebrows and yellowed teeth.
So like Tom Cruise?
And I believe you saw before, it almost looks like he has eczema. Like what little skin you do see is sort of rashy, not quite scaly, but you know what I mean.
Chemical burns?
Probably not quite. More dried skin-esque than a burn. But to cast him, it would be like... I've got some images of him. What the hell's the name of the little boy from The Sixth Sense?
Oh,
Haley Joel Osment?
Yeah, whoever that is. That's about the best casting I've got for him at the moment. But like him at like, you know, he can reach that, well, you know, Spencer.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you can reach that age where you still look prepubescent even though you're like 30? Like, it's kind of like that. Like, he's very youthful except for... Yeah, we'll go with that. That's the best description I've got.
Fair. Or what's that other guy? The kid that's in he's in that Bates Motel TV series.
Oh yeah,
like just that when a man doesn't have facial hair, he has kind of a
plays the good doctor now.
Has sort of, you know, I don't want to say soft eyes, but all the features on him are relatively youthful. Except for the scaly skin, the bushy eyebrows, and the horrible teeth, but that's probably to be expected.
That's fair. All right.
Welcome back. I do think I remember this voice.
Yeah, you nailed it, Mortimer. So,
what can I do for you?
You mentioned something about you exist. What are you doing? Oh, okay. That you exist on Earth, or you did exist on Earth.
Yes, I'm originally from Earth.
And you can go back?
He sort of looks up at the ceiling for a minute as if contemplating, like, the logistics in his head.
I suppose I could, but I don't want to.
Okay.
Too much time has passed.
Okay.
I step a little closer.
It's now vibrating more, and it's... do you put your hand up to it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something... It's almost like the buzzing of an insect's wings on your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You notice it. You don't think anybody else in the room would notice it. Like, you feel like your cartoonishly heart is beating out of your chest.
Yep.
You don't notice. You don't think anyone else notices it.
So if my hand is on it and I'm just like glaring at this guy,
are you trying to be particularly stealthy about holding your hand on your chest?
Yeah, I mean, feigning indigestion or something.
Roll something. Roll. I don't know. What is it?
Sneak.
Yeah, not really sneak.
Hide.
You That's not going to do me any good because I got 10% hide.
You hide yourself, you conceal other things. So we'll do conceal at like plus 20%.
Okay. Plus 20?
Yeah. So. I mean, it is under your shirt and you think it's doing something that...
Gives me a 51% chance.
There you go.
I have some conceal.
I feel like you might have done this before.
Nope.
As you put your hand to your chest, Mortimer's head kind of snaps and he looks at you. And he sort of just tilts his head a little bit as he stares at you.
Something I ate.
Of course. You were saying, my apologies.
So, a dreamer, when they are, just to clarify, normally a dreamer is able to move back and forth.
Yes.
Right. Could they exist on Earth and here at the same time?
You pose an intriguing question. I'm not sure why they would, and it would be very difficult, but perhaps possible. It would take immense power.
Did we not explain to him that that's basically our situation last time?
You did explain to him how you got here. You also never asked him. He was impressed by the fact that you got here and you're not you.
Right.
It puzzles him. It's not, it, he, you know, you're not, you also talked about Bywindeen, and then he kind of nodded his head like, oh yeah, okay. You're presenting him with information that he's not sure quite how to digest. But
you're physically, you're talking about the physical two aspects. One, for lack of a better, less ecclesiastical term, soul in two places.
Yes.
That is very different than a dreamer who arrives to the dreamlands. That is the essence of that person. A dreamer's essence may be here while they're here, or it may be on Earth when they're awake. But to have that essence in two places is fascinating.
So usually it's you're either one place or you're the other.
Yes.
Okay. You said usually you look like yourself when you come over.
Yes. Most dreamers appear in various places by simply projecting themselves here.
So you can actually think about where you want to be and you show up there?
Most cannot.
Take a step closer.
He intentionally is staring at you now. You get the sense like, roll, what is it? Psychology. I want to say insight, and it's not insight. I've been playing a lot of D&D lately.
Sure, I got a 5% chance of getting that.
Oh, you know, you never know. It's possible.
Is that right? Yeah, psychology. Nope.
There's a 5 in it.
I got inspiration. Nope.
Oh, Jesus.
You better erase one of those inspirations, son of a bitch.
You gave me a third one earlier that I didn't write down.
So
I got 2.
He gives you a look like you're not fooling anybody, I guess you could say. And now I forgot your question because we were dicking around.
I said you can think about where you want to end up and you just end up there.
Powerful, powerful dreamers could exude their will like that. You've all dreamed before. Have you ever controlled the dream? Or sometimes simply been taken along for the ride? It takes an immense power to exude such things. Eventually, if the dreamer is powerful enough, they can just cease to be there and end up here.
But we did explain to you, like, when you were on Earth, this was you, correct?
Yes.
This is him.
Yes.
This is not us.
Yes, you did explain that. It's fascinating.
That's not quite the word I would use.
Yes, it's actually incredibly fascinating. You are, as far as I can tell, unique cases. Unless there are thousands of others of you running around like this that just aren't saying anything.
Probably a bunch of people that are a lot smarter not to do that.
It's true.
Give me an idea roll, Louis.
Just passed.
There are thousands of you like you out there. Well, not quite, but you woke up in a pile of them.
Well, I didn't remember it was a pile of thousands.
Well, you woke up in a pile.
It was a pretty vast valley of bodies.
It was a lot of bodies. Thousands may be a bit facetious, but you also didn't explore all of Sarcomon, so if there were several piles of that size, we may be talking about thousands.
But again, those were inanimate bodies.
Correct.
And the Collector also thought it was very weird that we came through those bodies.
Correct. These are all true statements.
So then I would not assume that there are thousands of this case.
Running around, no. Thousands of those bodies. It's a horse of a different color.
So, what can I do for you? What?
How would one get audience with the Men of Lang?
Did you try going up and knocking on the door?
Not yet.
Perhaps the easiest. Though stupid. Very stupid. You could try. I don't know what you are looking to accomplish unless you are looking to join their fraternal organization. I'm not sure who you would be looking to speak to, per se.
Guy in charge.
They say you can find him on the dark side of the moon.
God, different guy. Like a local. Like we're talking local.
Need a local sales rep.
I don't want the state representative. I want my local district.
Who runs the temple locally, like here?
He just shrugs his shoulders.
They're but puppets in a grander game. The pawns.
But you implied last time that they brought us here.
They definitely have their hand in it, absolutely. But the pawns don't move without the direction of the king. Have you played chess? Would you like to play?
I'm bad at it.
See, again, I didn't take the inference that the men of Lang brought us here. They are in charge of trafficking the bodies, yes. But the fact that you and I traveled here the way we did. I didn't make that connection necessarily, but except for the coincidence that the men of Lang are typically Asian looking, but with goat legs, right?
I mean, yes and no. It is implied that they are disfigured, satyr-like men. But there is definitely the plateau of Lang, the fact that you went to, you know, a Chinese restaurant, Mr. Lau, there is that connection to, like, the Far East. As Lovecraft would say, it's the Orient, you know what I mean? That whole pastiche of we're going to throw everything that's Eastern together and toss it in a pot and call it evil is basically what he did. So you are getting that sense. They all do seem to be very connected. The fact that Glenn is from San Francisco, I believe?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Would also strike on that same vein of quote-unquote bad Asian influences. Let me get my beautiful plastic cup that says cup and my slice of Hotbox pizza would totally take a sponsorship from Hotbox, 100%.
You know what bugs me? They don't stamp pizza on the bottom of the pizza.
You got an idea there. You should tweet that at them.
Just saying.
Should say slice burned into the bottom of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, yeah. On the bottom of every slice. If you had a pan that said slice on it, so that when you cooked it, it burned into it.
That's smart.
I'm going to delete that because that's my idea. Somebody's going to steal that.
Just be like Matt and start screaming, copyrighted, copyrighted.
It's binding if you say that.
Absolutely.
We'll go with that. Copyrighted it is.
It's like declaring bankruptcy in The Office.
I think the box says box, isn't it?
Unless it says pizza, but I think it says box.
I feel bad for the delivery drivers that drive around because they have like a giant cup that's got to be dragging their car. it cannot be helpful.
It can't be that bad.
It's also just gaudy.
So no, have you guys decided anything you want to do?
We need to go look at the temple.
Well, before we go, I'm going to ask him about making buy one, Dean.
Did he not give you ingredients last time?
No. He just said if we had money, he could.
Oh, fair.
So I think it's pricey.
Yep.
As you ask Mortimer about that, you see him turn around and he starts looking at things on his shelves.
The price for buy one, Dean, is excessive. But, and again, I've never made it, but I...
He looks over his shelf.
I may have enough here for one dose, if someone would like to try.
I mean, I'll reach in my pocket and give him, or slam down, like, the remaining that we have, but, I mean, this is all we have.
You want it that bad, huh?
We just want to go home.
So you're going to draw straws, or?
I don't want it.
Rock, paper, scissors, then.
I'm handing you the money.
I don't think you understand what excessive cost means. You could hand me everything you own, including your clothes on the back, and that probably wouldn't pay for it. But I will like to see what happens.
He scrapes the coins off the counter and secrets them away in some sort of pocket.
Well, say you owe me. Let me know. If you ever come back, let me know what it was like.
And he begins mixing some things. All of you make... try and make pals by five, which would be lux. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not a luck roll, but same mathematics.
Got it.
Two.
Okay.
Ooh.
Of 85.
I guess you didn't really need to make it.
Fair enough.
But you're fine.
But I made it.
You did.
We'll
make
hold
it.
That roll for Excellent. Something else.
No, you got it. You you don't seem to.
You want that roll?
You don't seem to. Glenn doesn't seem to care when he sees what is obviously opium going into the mixture that. He's making. The two of you both kind of go.
opium.
But neither of you freak out about it.
Opium donuts.
He begins to take a make up a mixture of it.
How did we intake it last time?
Water
Smoked
pipe.
It.
It's a water
That's
pipe.
Right. Smoke. Okay. How is he preparing it to be taken this time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, same way.
Same.
Like, he's... You can clearly tell. Like, the opiate addicts are seeing he's preparing to, you know, smoke it just like he would in an opium den. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting everything all mixed up. You're all getting tingles, but apparently you're still good. You're not, I've got to have drugs.
I'm not getting tingles.
No, not at all.
I'm getting a tingle, but it's not from that.
You are, actually. And as he moves around, you notice that it kind of gets more vibrating and less vibrating.
The further away he is, it's less. The closer he is, the more.
Yeah. Almost like that. Eventually, he prepares a pipe. I'm not really sure about the intake of opium, but I do know you smoke it, so he's got it prepared in the way that you opiate addicts would know what to do. Would you care for a seat? He sort of indicates a small, you know, area just off to the edge of the shop where probably he sits, but he'd let you sit there and smoke if you want.
I'm going to step as far away from that smoke as possible.
I look at Louie. What's your intention? Or Lou, what's your intention?
I'm staying here.
No. What are we doing next?
What do you mean?
We're going to leave this shop. What are we doing next?
Probably going to go to sleep, and in the morning I'm going to the temple.
Awesome.
Yep, I'll take a seat.
He hands you the pipe and sets down a lighter. If I'm not describing how you smoke opium, that's because I don't have any clue how it works, but that's what I've seen from movies, folks. So he lights a little candle, you know, and invites you to go ahead and get the bowl prepared and to smoke.
I will take part.
Excellent. I'm not going to make you leave the room, but let's... For the moment, you see Louis smoke, and his eyes close, and he rests back into his chair. So, for you, this is a very familiar, almost, you know, appetizing occurrence, as you see him fall into what you assume is an opiate-filled daze. You have no idea what's going on, nope. But you probably have the sense of it. I mean, you know...
I know what drugs are.
So. Well, I mean, and opium abuse was very prevalent.
Sure.
So, Louis, you notice first as you begin to take the Biwandine, you feel that familiar feeling of the world just slowing down and fading, and you feel high. I mean, you feel that lightheaded, narcotic feel. And it then becomes more intense. You feel your muscles even less. You feel weightless and floaty, and you notice your vision start to darken as if you're being pulled backwards into a tunnel or a deep well. The fall feels great. I mean, it's just like you're flying through space. But then suddenly the light disappears and you are in blackness. And then you hurt. There's a sudden impact. You impact something that is cold and rough, and you find yourself, you kind of blink, you're face down, and you feel the cold against half of your body and like your cheek, and you open your eyes and you're on some sort of rough stone, and you can feel the wind whipping your hair and air flowing over and around you. You hear a noise essentially behind you, but I guess it would technically be above you, right? Because you're laying down.
Mm-hmm.
Behind you, above you, both. But you're clearly laying face down on some sort of stone.
I feel air. Do I sense that I'm moving?
No, you don't. It's more like the wind. You are stationary. You're feeling the wind move around you. The air currents are moving around you. You're not flying or anything. You've clearly, for lack of a better term, you've Army of Darkness. You've fallen through some sort of hole, and now you're face first on this stone. But at the moment, your eyes come open, and all you can see is stone. You're gonna have to roll over, twist okay, something.
I'm face first on.
Yeah, you're face down on this rough hewn stone.
I will as inconspicuously as possible, try to look around and see what's directly in front of me and whatever I can see in my periph.
As you look to your right. You are clearly still supine. So face first on the rock. You look to the right. You see the sky. But it's as if you're seeing the sky from a great height because you don't see the ground. It's a bit like looking off. If you lay down on the floor of a tall building and look out the window, you would only see the skyline, right?
Yeah.
So you don't see anything that way.
I just see sky. I don't see anything on the horizon.
Yeah, you're just seeing blue sky and clouds.
Okay.
We'll say probably not blue clouds, or not blue sky. It's significantly darker than that. Not quite dusk, maybe?
But I get that it's nighttime, or that it's not normal.
You don't get any not normal vibes yet. There's no blood moon that you can see or something crazy. If you kind of, now again, because of the way you're facing, you're probably facing out towards the sky. You can kind of turn your head, and you can't quite see, but it seems that the stone runs away from you in most directions, as best you can see. Again, your face first. But you get the sense that you're on, like, maybe a balustrade or a wall, a stone, something on the edge of something that continues to be more stone.
I look down at myself. Like, what am I wearing?
You appear to be... It's a good question. It's been a while since I've read this bit. I'd say you appear to be you. Not you, the character, the body that you are no longer African. You know, you are Louis, as you remember yourself. You are you. But the sudden turning of your head to sort of look around, you hear some sort of animalistic cackling or crying sort of, again, behind and up above you. Sort of off in a direction that you have yet to look because you're just kind of moving ever so slightly.
Okay. I will...
Talk into the mic.
I will turn to see what's behind me.
Roll sand, please.
That's a fail.
Sweet. What you see is a giant vulture, I guess is the best way to describe it. It's a, whatever it is, it's a massive bird. And but calling it a bird is probably a misnomer because it's probably the size of a pterodactyl. It has leathery wings and its face is, you know, it's got that sort of vulture-y, like, raw, fleshy head. And you think that your subtle movement might have disturbed it. And just as you turn, it caws. And you know how vultures, when they unfold their wings, like, they're unbelievably huge in comparison to their body. This thing unfolds and just takes flight before your eyes. And in one swift stroke of its wings, it shoots an impossible distance into the air and is gone in a moment. Three sand.
What else do I see around me?
You see a massive castle. You're on the edge. You're on the Is it the balustrade? You're on the sort of on the wall of a castle. Like if you were kissing the Blarney Stone, that's where you are. You're laying on top of the Blarney Stone and you're seeing just before you a stairwell, a hallway, just moving in. But everything that you can see in the distance is all castle. It's the largest thing you've ever seen. It's not oversized. It's just a massive structure. You can't from this side tell how far it goes, how big it is. It seems impossibly huge.
There's no thing or no one else around me?
No.
I will get up and try to move.
Yeah, you can move. You begin to move through the passage then?
Yes.
Okay. As you move through the passage, you see that there are a number of torches. The torches are... in places 10 feet tall, massive, you know, pillars of fire, basically. What do I want to say? These are like, they're not just like wall sconces. These are huge, and they're just causing the hallway before you to be incredibly lit. You smell like sweet oils, rosemary, ginger, as you begin walking. But as you move from room to room, the architecture seems to shift subtly. Sometimes it's medieval. Sometimes it's Gothic. Sometimes it's something more modern, like out of New York. You see statues of huge, impossibly large humans, 8, 10, 12 feet tall, filling this passageway. They have sharp features with long earlobes. They wear loose-fitting robes, and each one of them carries a twin-pronged golden spear. You see pools of golden liquid that bubble, that smell more delicious than anything you've ever imagined. You see these pools frequently as you walk.
Okay.
You're stopping to investigate any of this, or you just keep
walking?
Yeah,
I'm going to stop and investigate this. Am I getting the feeling it's like smelted gold or just golden liquid?
Just golden liquid. But it smells like freshly baked cookies. It smells like Christmas ham. It smells like the turkey at Thanksgiving. It is unbelievably desirable.
Is there something loose around me that I can, like, pick up?
Sure.
Like, dip in it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does anything happen to that thing?
No, not at all. I mean, it splashes in it. It seems to have a consistency not unlike water. You can kind of see when you put it in, it's the golden liquid is not like paint. It's fairly watery, and it's not entirely opaque. It is slightly see-through. It doesn't come out boiling of acid or anything.
I will put my hand in and, like, cup and take a sip.
It tastes, it, you've never had anything better. This is like the Turkish delight of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You've never had anything better in your life. Do you have any HP damage?
I do not.
You get the sense that if you did, you would be immediately at full HP from this.
You never gained some sand.
Nothing about that. as you keep...
damn it, Detweiler.
As you keep moving on, the castle seems to get bigger. It... Before, the hallways were 8 feet tall, then they're 10 feet tall. Now they're like 16 or 20 feet tall with huge columns and chairs fit for giants and just unbelievable stuff. But you feel like you've been walking for hours, days, and you've seen nothing and no one. Roll sand.
That's a fail.
Just the utter sense of like hopelessness and loss is just starting to grate on your mind, the whole bizarreness of this. This is by far more disconcerting than almost anything you've experienced in the Dreamland so far. We'll call it 4.
Well, that's probably... That's 7 out of... out of 34, so...
Time doesn't mean anything here. So you haven't lost... you've not had a massive impact, let's put it that way.
Okay. If I look back from the direction I came...
That looks like the way you came from? As you kind of turn in a circle, you're like, I'm not sure which way I came from.
Okay.
But you do find yourself now in almost a massive throne room. Not quite a dead end, but it's led to a central point at least. And you hear a voice speak out to you. The first thing you feel like you've heard in months. And so do you, traveler in two worlds. You find yourself before me, the first traveler and the last. What brings you to this abode of the gods? This voice is booming. It shakes the room. You feel it in your heart, in your chest, in your mind. It comes from behind you.
Before I turn around, I will say, I'm just trying to get home.
You are far from home, Earthling.
I have been for some time.
Do you turn around?
Nope.
You've come all this way. To the home of the gods, and you choose not to look upon me. It seems quite rude, but as you are...
Can you assist me to get home? Surely that is within your power.
Of course. Of course. The journey is far, of course. But if you wish, I can take you. Simply take my hand, mortal, and I will escort you back to Earth. Roll me luck.
Pass.
You get the sense that there is... The voice is booming, and so it naturally seems authoritarian, but it suppresses great mirth almost at everything you're saying. If you wish to go, I may take you.
I will...
Totally, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, well... I will turn around to...
Well, let's stop there.
Yeah.
As you turn around... You see, the voice has been dark and rich and full of humor, but as you turn around, you see a giant. An ebon-skinned giant, 10, 12, 14 feet tall, garbed in the dress of ancient Egypt. In fact, even wearing a, even going so far as to wear a traditional pharaoh's headdress. And as you turn around, this massive hand, the size of this table, is reaching out to you. Do you wish me to take you to Earth?
Yes. I'll reach out.
Okay. He takes you by the hand and, I mean, really,
psych.
You've just kind of got a pinky.
Yeah.
You know, but he clasps essentially your entire upper arm in just a couple of his fingers. And he begins walking you, somewhere. He begins walking you down the hallways and it twists and turns for a little bit. And as you get out, you realize you feel the wind again, as if he's taking you out of doors. And you see that giant bird thing still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks you up with a hand and places you on top of the bird. Roll sand?
Yeah, roll sand.
Big bird.
For the next part.
If it's a fail?
God.
Well, when you get low enough.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
You can't lose that much because that's not allowed in the game. You lose 5. And the black pharaoh, who is now not nearly as big as he was, also climbs aboard the creature. And with a quick kick, the thing launches into the air at incredible speeds. It moves faster than you would think it could with its wings flapping. And in moments is in the sky and is beyond the sky and then is seemingly flying amongst the stars. I guess technically he's supposed to be on a separate bird, but it's fine. He's on your bird.
Twins!
The price of such a journey is steep, my friend, and you're most brave. We shall find Earth, but not before we circle the court and drop a courtesy to my lord. Then to Earth, if you still recognize it as home, of course. The birds seem to accelerate through nebula and galaxies, farther and farther in space, until your entire line of sight is a band of white, cutting the universe in two. In the center of this band is a boiling red and white flame which seems to dance and shake, something the size of a sun or maybe even a million suns. Is there anything you'd like to do at this moment, Troy?
I don't think so.
If there's nothing you'd like to do, then you begin to hear music. Loud music. Piping. Harps. The screech of violins. And as you get closer, you realize that there are things that orbit this giant sun that are of immense size and bizarre and strange and unable to comprehend, and they move and they float and they dance in the vastness of space around this sun. And it breaks every bit of understanding you have about science and nature and belief and what is self and what is anything. It utterly, totally destroys your psyche. Roll me, San.
Sure.
I gift you an inspiration.
Failed by two.
You're so excited, and I thought you had it.
23 to 21.
Cody is holding a D100.
Yes. Troy, you lose 23 sand.
Well, that puts me at insane. I mean, negative if that was possible.
For the rest of you, you are sitting there. There's a slight bit of comatose. You know exactly what he is. He's hit that high, right? He's hit that perfect high. And as he does so, there's a moment in time in which your heart beats once, twice, and then there's nothing but an empty pile of clothes there the next heartbeat, as Louis vanishes from sight.
Our title track, Dreams, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their debut album, Nocturnes. Find that album and much more at sleepfortheweary.com. Want to support the podcast? Find exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel. Don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel. All this and more can be found at rancorsbrothel.com. Much love, listeners. Keep circulating the tapes.